Hey, all, Scott Horton here. It's always safe to say that one should keep at least some of your savings in precious metals as a hedge against inflation. And if this economy ever does heat back up and the banks start expanding credit, rising prices could make metals a very profitable bet. Since 1977, Robertson Roberts Brokerage, Inc. has been helping people buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and they do it well. They're fast, reliable, and trusted for more than 35 years. And they take Bitcoin. Call Robertson Roberts at 1-800-874-9760 or stop by rrbi.co. All right, you guys. Welcome back to the show. It's the Will Grigg interview show where I, your host, Scott Horton, interviews Will Grigg. I interview Will Grigg. There's no S belongs on there. Anyway, he's got the eloquence. I just, have the record button. Hey, Will, tell me about these corrupt cops in Utah. I read your blog today, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com, and I almost couldn't believe my eyeballs when I was reading. And
I know.
I read everything you write, and so that's really saying something. Go ahead and blow them all away with this thing.
Well, this is a case that defies credulity for anybody who's not dutifully following the antic parade of corruption that is law enforcement in the American Soyuz. In Utah, as in most other states, there's an organization called the Fraternal Order of Police, which operates in most states like a police union. There's an FOP here in Idaho. It doesn't call itself a union, but in Utah they call themselves a union. They have got it in for Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill because, in spite of the fact that he's a prosecutor, he seems to be hostage to the idea that the law applies to everybody equally, including police officers, which is why earlier this year, he made an admirable but unsuccessful attempt to prosecute a former West Valley City narcotics detective by the name of Sean Coley, I believe it's pronounced Cowley, actually, who a couple of years ago shot and killed Danielle Willard. She was a 21 or 22-year-old woman in the parking lot outside of an apartment complex in West Valley City during a botched drug investigation. She was suspected of possessing heroin. No heroin was found in her possession. She was approached by two men she didn't recognize, and she tried to leave the parking lot because within the couple of days leading up to this incident, she had been attacked in her home by people who were involved in drug trafficking. She'd gone to Utah, interestingly, from Washington State in order to seek treatment for her drug addiction. And she had contacted the police a couple of days before the shooting in November 2012 because her home had been broken into and she's being threatened. So she was approached by these two men who may or may not have been identified as police officers. They had their guns drawn. And she tried to leave the parking lot. And as she fled, she was shot from behind and to her left by Detective Cowley. And over the course of a couple of years, an investigation was made into the West Valley City Police Department that, predictably enough, turned up evidence of abundant corruption within its narcotics investigation unit, which has been shut down. And Sim Gill conducted that investigation. And in the course of doing so, he threw out dozens of cases that had been made on the basis of unreliable evidence or perjury, or in which there was pretty compelling evidence of misconduct by the police officers. And earlier this year, he ruled that the shooting, actually it was July of last year, July of 2013, if memory serves, he ruled that the shooting of Daniel Willard was unjustified. And then this year, there was a preliminary hearing on manslaughter charges that were filed against Sean Cowley. This is one of the few times in the history of Utah that a police officer has actually faced the prospect of prosecution for an on-duty killing that was manifestly unnecessary. And the preliminary hearing resulted in the charge being dismissed because, as is the case in most jurisdictions, there's enormous deference granted to police in the exercise of lethal force in circumstances that normal citizens would not be permitted to. And this is particularly interesting because one of the people who intervened on behalf of Detective Cowley is a former federal judge by the name of Paul Cassell, who is a rampaging jihadist in the cause of capital punishment and somebody who's tried to get the exclusionary rule overturned. He wants to do away with Miranda. But he insisted that it was appropriate to grant to Officer Cowley something like an enhanced Miranda status through what's called the Garrity Guarantee for police officers, and that his special privilege version of Miranda had been violated, supposedly, by the Salt Lake County District Attorney, Sim Gill. And so he managed to persuade a federal judge, actually, forgive me, a district judge in the state of Utah, to dismiss the charges. And while this was going on, the Fraternal Order of Police in Utah were filing bar complaints against Sim Gill and looking for a candidate they could support to run against him. And they found in his office a deputy DA by the name of Nelson, who's a Republican, unlike Gill, who's a Democrat, and he's running against Sim Gill, his boss, in tomorrow's election for the county district attorney's office. And so all this is a necessary backdrop to what happened on October 22nd, when a 72-year-old man by the name of Robert Warren was shot in the face on the front door of his home in West Valley City. The chief suspect is an identified gang member by the name of Raymond Marquina, and he was aided by three people who are considered to be accomplices. So they were very quickly arrested because they were very well known to the authorities. The three accomplices were charged. One of them was sent back to prison on a parole violation, so they're all either in custody of the West Valley Police Department, actually the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, or they're in custody in the prison system there. But a week after the shooting, Marquina was inexplicably let go. And the reason that was given initially by Sheriff Winder in Salt Lake County and by the West Valley City Police Department was that there was a mistake in the evidence, that they hadn't provided sufficient evidence in order to hold Marquina and have him indicted for the charge of attempted murder and felonious discharge of a weapon. So on October 29th, the Fraternal Order of Police issued a press release accusing Sim Gill of being responsible for this mistake that was made by the police in providing the evidence to the prosecutor's office, and claiming that he was covering up his mistake that he had made in allowing this would-be murderer to be set free. But the problem here, first of all, is that in the DA's office, the head of the Violent Crimes Unit is the person who's running against him as the potential DA. His political rival, in other words, is the guy upon whose desk this case would have landed, first of all, because he's the head of the Violent Felony Unit, and he's also an amply decorated veteran prosecutor of street gangs. He's got a whole wall full of plaudits and awards and plaques that he's received for his service as a gang investigator. That's the first problem. He would have actually been routed through the office of the guy that the Fraternal Order of Police is supporting there to replace Sim Gill. The second problem here, of course, is that the DA, like any other prosecutor, can't simply hold somebody if the evidence is insufficient because of this nasty little provision in the Constitution, frequently ignored but very important, called the habeas corpus guarantee. If you can't charge a guy with a crime, you have to let him go within a certain limited time frame. Typically in Utah, it's 48 hours. In this case, Marquina was held for a week. But irrespective of the fact that there's no reason to believe that Sim Gill would do something so consummately stupid as to release a veteran gangbanger and would-be murderer on the streets a few days before an election, and the fact that this is something that would have gone through the office of a subordinate political rival, and the fact that the police screwed up, the Fraternal Order of Police managed to capture the news cycle last Thursday and last Friday by putting into the information bloodstream the idea that Sim Gill, who is an inveterate cop hater, and he had the lack of wisdom and foresight to arrange to be born in India rather than in Utah. That's a very important part of this equation, Scott. He's being painted as somebody who is a foreign-born usurper, who is an inveterate cop hater because of the misfortune he had of being brought up as a young child in India. The former head of the Republican Party in Utah, as a matter of fact, actually said that he's not qualified to be the DA because he grew up in India rather than in America, and that means that he's got a negative perception of police on the basis of the way that cops behave in India. The cops in India, of course, like any place else, are instruments of violence, and they're clothed in privilege. But the cops in Utah, of course, are the primary concern of the public here, and there's a large and understandably growing movement on the part of people who are the families of police victims to seek accountability, and Sim Gill has been somewhat sympathetic in defiance of his political connections and all reasonable expectations we have for somebody who's part of that cohort. He's actually been listening to people who've seen their family members beaten or tased or shot or otherwise mistreated by police who are clothed in impunity. And so because he has made it clear that he's at least receptive to the idea that police must be held accountable through the criminal justice system for abuse of power and for mistreatment of the public, the Fraternal Order of Police is trying to get rid of him. Now, does this mean that the Fraternal Order of Police and somebody within the West Valley City Police Department conspired to release this criminal or to botch the case, if you will, in order to create a scandal on the eve of the election? I posed that question to somebody who knows the players very well from decades working within the criminal justice system in Salt Lake City. His name is Edward Flynn. He's a very well-respected trial attorney who knows everybody in the DA's office.
And there's your cliffhanger. We'll be right back.
All right.
Hey, I'm Scott Horton here. Are you a libertarian and or peacenik? Live in North America? If you want, you can hire me to come and give a speech to your group. I'm good on the terror, war, and intervention, civil liberty stuff, blaming Woodrow Wilson for everything bad in the world, Iran, central banking, political realignment, and, well, you know, everything. I can teach markets to liberals and peace to the right. Just watch me. Check out scotthorton.org/speeches for some examples and email me scott@scotthorton.org for more information. See you there. All right, guys, so I'm talking with Will Grigg. He wrote the book Liberty in Eclipse. And he writes the blog Pro Libertate at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. And we're talking about this very important article here. Let me rewind up to the top. Killer on the loose. Did cops botch a case to punish an independent DA? So, cop kills lady for no good reason. Prosecutor decides he's going to go ahead and look into this and try to prosecute this, but is ended up thwarted by the court. Then the other party, the Fraternal Order of Police, sides with the other political party, in this case the Republicans, and they start backing this other guy against the DA in the upcoming election. And then he's directly in the chain of command for this botched arrest and prosecution of a murderer who, as you say, his accomplices, the murderer's accomplices, and we're not talking about the cop who murdered the lady, we're talking about a separate murderer.
Would be murder.
The old man survived? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's in the hospital right now.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I had that wrong. Attempted murderer there. But, okay, so the accomplices are in jail, but they let the perp go free, and apparently it wasn't the DA that let him go free so much as it seems as though possibly his opponent in the homicide department deliberately botched the evidence in order to let him go free, and then spin it in the media in the days before the election as all the DA's fault when really his fingerprints are all over the thing. Will Grigg, is that right? Do I understand?
That's one possibility. When I talk with my friend Ed Flynn, he's an attorney there in Salt Lake who knows all the principals. He's of the opinion that Steve Nelson is the head of the violent felonies unit there in the Salt Lake County Salt Lake County DA's office. Ed Flynn is of the opinion that Mr. Rogers is a conscientious attorney, and he doesn't believe that he was the one who botched the case. He believes that, and let me quote him here, either the FOP, that's the Fraternal Order of Police, and the West Valley City Police Department botched this case because they were incompetent, or they botched it because they're corrupt. He says that the cops in the Fraternal Order of Police are slimy, corrupt, and out to get Gil. Gil says he can't charge Marquina, that's the would-be murderer, the suspect in the shooting, on made-up evidence. The West Valley PD knew what they needed to do. They didn't do it. They brought the evidence for the accomplices, but not the would-be murderer. It makes a bigger headline and a bigger last minute before the election slimy smear on the DA they've decided is not their puppet. So from his perspective, as somebody who knows the principles, knows how the system works in Salt Lake County, and he makes it clear that he's not specifically accusing anybody. He's just reading the evidence from the perspective of a trained observer and somebody familiar with how things operate there, that if this was botched, it was almost certainly botched by the West Valley City Police Department, probably with the active connivance of the Fraternal Order of Police, and that Rogers, for whatever reason, is not directly implicated in screwing up this case. And I think that if you take a look at it from the perspective of who benefits, it would benefit Rogers to see the case screwed up rather than to see the case be successful, because he wouldn't take credit. He couldn't take credit if there were headlines about the arrest indictment.
When you say Rogers, you mean Nelson?
Forgive me. Yeah, Nelson.
Okay,
No.
There are a lot of names here. I just want to make sure that we're all straight.
Referred to him as Rogers a couple of times mistakenly. Steve Rogers Steve Nelson is the assistant DA, the 11-year veteran of the district attorney's office. And Steve Nelson is the one who heads the violent felonies unit. And he is the one that Ed Flint, the attorney I interviewed, said is a conscientious trial lawyer. And he doesn't believe that he was directly responsible, but rather that the West Valley City Police Department, which is a thoroughly corrupt agency, more corrupt than most, their newly appointed chief a few months ago became very defensive when a motion was filed on behalf of Daniel Williams' family, recounting the testimony of a former member of that police department that there had been hush money payoffs to people in the narcotics unit who had been sexually exploiting some of their female informants. The new police chief in West Valley City said, in so many words, well, it's not as if we still have criminals running this department, tacitly acknowledging that it had been operated like a street gang until his advent. Well, I don't think that the institutional momentum has shifted so dramatically in such a short time frame. But from where he stands, knowing the principles, knowing the lay of the land, Flint says that this was botched either as a result of deliberate incompetence or deliberate malfeasance of office, or institutional incompetence, perhaps followed by opportunism on the part of the Fraternal Order of Police. But there's no way that you can look at this and say that Sim Gill is responsible, because if they don't bring the evidence, they cannot indict the guy simply because he wants to. And this is the sort of thing that he, perhaps uniquely among prosecutors in the state of Utah, would scruple at, is the idea that if, as long as we're going to be prosecuting somebody, we have to have something that is, that comports with the habeas corpus requirements and due process.
Now, wait a minute. Is there any argument as to why, I mean, on the other side, as to why, well, we were able to bring the evidence against the three accomplices, but we didn't have the evidence on him? I mean, from arguing the cop's defense that it's not there.
There's no argument that the FOP has made beyond insinuation that this was anything other than a botch, if you will. What they're trying to say is that on the part of the West Valley City Police Department, it was a mistake, but on the part of Sim Gill, somehow this is a deliberate act of nonfeasance of office. That doesn't make any sense at all. And they filed a Public Information Act request for email correspondence within the DA's office that they say would supposedly reveal that there was evidence there and that Gill, for whatever reason, didn't use the evidence to indict the shooter. And what Gill has said is, by all means, file the public information request, because I've got nothing to hide and I'm too busy to worry about this. So this is the sort of thing that will be thrashed out sometime after tomorrow. And the whole point here, as far as I can tell, is that they wanted to create a big splash before a weekend to get everybody in a fine froth of indignation over what happened, knowing that this would do nothing but injure Sim Gill's reelection chances. So at the very best, as far as I can tell, what you have here is probably, and this is the best case scenario from the perspective of the FOP, what you have here is tremendous institutional incompetence on the part of a police agency for, that is famous for that type of behavior, as well as corruption, that was capitalized upon by the FOP in order to smear Sim Gill. That's the very best case scenario from their perspective. The worst case scenario is that somebody in that police department, probably with the active connivance of the FOP, decided that they'd let this guy go and play catch and release with him, because he's one of the usual suspects. He was well known as an identified member of the Serrano's street gang, and he's the sort of person they can keep on a short tether and then reel in after the election and then probably win another headline for recapturing this guy who was let loose by this alien usurper, this liberal squish of a Democrat DA who's occupying the DA's office there in Salt Lake County. And the partisan dynamic here is really interesting, Scott, because Salt Lake County is the only county in Utah where a Democrat has a pretty good chance of winning office, but typically you don't find that the DA's office is occupied by a Democrat. The FOP endorsed Sim Gill when he ran several years ago, and they became quite disaffected with him because he insisted on holding police accountable to the same laws that they're supposed to enforce. But what Ed tells me is that some of his lifelong Democrat friends who were trial lawyers or just activists are starting to become equivocal about their support for Sim Gill. He needs to come clean about this, they say. Well, he's come clean about it. He said, go ahead, get the records out into the public for public inspection. I've got nothing to hide. If I don't have evidence, I can't charge the guy.
Yeah. Boy, it sounds like you're talking about some third world country where
it really
the police
does.
Union is going to run a DEA out of town for daring to try to prosecute a cop who killed some lady.
Exactly, of all the impudence.
Yep. All right, that's freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Thanks, Will.
You bet. Take care.
Hey, I'll Scott here for Whole Food Multicomplete at wholefoodcomplete.com. Whole Food Multicomplete is an entire supplement program in one bottle, containing 100% RDA of vitamins and minerals, plus live probiotics, digestive enzymes, antioxidant herbs, energy nutrients, and more. It's made in America using real foods and live probiotics, no chemical synthetics. It's soy-free, gluten-free, and independently tested and verified. They're so sure you'll love it, they're taking 20% off your first order with coupon code Scott Horton. Satisfaction is guaranteed at wholefoodcomplete.com. Hey, all Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world, all specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. Darren's Coffee. Order now at darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and save $2. darrenscoffee.com. Oh, John Kerry's Mideast peace talks have gone nowhere. Hey, I'll Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. U.S. military and financial support for Israel's permanent occupations of the West Bank and Gaza Strip is immoral, and it threatens national security by helping generate terrorist attacks against our country. And face it, it's bad for Israel, too. Without our unlimited support, they would have much more incentive to reach a lasting peace with their neighbors. It's past time for us to make our government stop making matters worse. Help support CNI at councilforthenationalinterest.org. Hey, all Scott Horton here. I want to tell you about this great new book, Livin' La Vida Baroka, American Culture in an Age of Imperial Orthodoxies by Thomas Harrington. While he comes from the left, Harrington has little time for much of what is passed off under that label today. Like us libertarians, he puts peace and freedom first. The book's got great essays on American fascism, empire, the Israeli occupation, the left and Obama, liberalism and the state, and some interesting lessons from the history of Imperial Spain. Livin' La Vida Baroka by Thomas Harrington. Check it out at scotthorton.org/books or scotthorton.org/Amazon.